Greetings. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I am a pastor and teacher, author, entrepreneur, father, husband, grandfather, and host of the Shadows Project podcast. Throughout my 50 years of Christian ministry, prison ministry and criminal justice reform has by far been the most challenging. On this podcast, we will uncover the critical truths and justifications regarding prison ministry and criminal justice, and why it is important to the church and to our communities for engagement. Join me in hopes of spreading more awareness and recognition to this overlooked and mostly abandoned church ministry on the Shadows Project podcast. The Shadows Project podcast is designed to show local pastors and churches what, why, and how they can organize and develop an effective prison ministry by purchasing our training workshop package consisting of a 200-color slide PowerPoint presentation at a cost of only $49.95. To purchase your training package for your church, conference, congress, and convention, go to our website at www.rrministriesinc.org. Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ and co-workers in kingdom building. I pray that all is well with you, your family, and your ministry during these challenging and changing times. I will share more information about my book publications at the end of this podcast. Therefore, I'd like to welcome you to episode number 6 of my Shadows Project podcast titled Ready for Life Mentoring Project for Out of School Youth Ages 16 to 24. Again, that's the Ready for Life Mentoring Project for Out of School Youth Ages 16 to 24. Subsequently, I will be presenting 6 additional prison ministry and criminal justice training episodes which address this most significant and urgent call for the church to provide bold new leadership and redirected service for engagement in prison ministry and criminal justice challenges. The complete training package consists of a 200-plus color-page PowerPoint presentation that can be used in perpetuity to recruit, train, and enlist your members and volunteers for ministry in our nation's jails and prisons. Some of you may be wondering why I call this podcast The Shadows Project. It is reflective of my new book titled Shadows, Serving with Character, Competence, Commitment, and Pride in the Absence of Accolades and Recognition. This characterization reflects the nature and essence of working in jails and prisons. The book is designed to inform, enlighten, equip, and encourage serving leaders and Christian workers who serve in the shadows of greatness, sometimes of others, in various forms of ministry, and to encourage them to continue to serve with character, competence, commitment, and pride in the absence of accolades, appreciation, celebration, and recognition, and sometimes even financial compensation. There are 3 important kingdom principles also presented in the book Shadows. Number 1 is that one must be willing to serve at the lowest level in this work in kingdom building. And of course, that's reflective of John chapter 13. You remember when Jesus went to his disciples and girded himself with the towel and took a basin of water and went around to his disciples to wash their feet. But when he got to Peter, Peter was annoyed with that and said, "No, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. That's beneath you, Lord." And Jesus responded and said, "Well, Peter, let me do this now. You may not understand why I'm doing it now, but you'll understand it later. You'll understand it by and by." And then Peter said, "Because if you don't now," Jesus said, "you will not be a part of my kingdom building." And of course, Peter then responded again in error. Well, Lord, wash my hands, my head, my feet, everything. And Jesus says something that's theologically profound and even doctrinally as a foundation. When he responded to Peter's response, when he said to Peter, he that is washed do not have to be bathed all over again. And so Jesus, again, reflects the fact that if one is going to work in the kingdom of God, one must be willing to serve at the lowest level. And this example and this text reflects character as the right manner in terms of acts of care and compassion. Secondly, in this kingdom principle, is there must be a willingness to serve where one is needed and not where one desires to serve. And this is key to understand, especially if you're going to work in jails and prisons, to understand that the chaplain is the key player. He's the doorkeeper. He's the pastor. He's the shepherd of that religious programming. And you can't go to a chaplain with your program all made up and structured. You got all your workbooks together and say you, for example, want to do a prison ministry seminar. Well, he may already have 12, 13 churches already doing that or lined up to do that. And of course, the door will be closed for and to your ministry. But the proper entree is to make sure that you know what the need of the chaplain is. You ask the chaplain, what is his or her religious programming needs and where you might fit in. And this is key to say, to assist them in their most important work. That's the entree. The proper entree is that you recognize that ministry is about ministering and making sure you address the needs of that religious programming. And of course, the third principle is that servant leadership and servant leadership appointments, particularly, are not based upon favoritism, but based upon fitness. And that's reflective of Mark chapter 10, verse 32 and following, where you remember James and John went to Jesus on their way to Jerusalem for that final, that finite, and that fatal journey. And they asked him, saying, well, Lord, when you get to your kingdom, let one of us sit on your left hand and one on your right hand. And Jesus, of course, was taken back with that and asked them if they were able to drink of the cup that he drinks and be baptized with the baptism of which he was baptized. And of course, they didn't have the deep theological meaning of Jesus suffering and experience on the cross, because those disciples, they were looking for seats, but they did not know that a cross was awaiting them in Jerusalem. And so Jesus had to remind them even that he didn't even give the seat assignments, but his Father in heaven is the one who assigns us, who calls us, who anoints us to our specific task and our specific ministries. And Jesus had to remind them that service and seats in his kingdom are not based upon favoritism, but of course, based upon fitness. And I know James and John may have thought they had some kind of special place or privilege since they were part of his executive committee and his inner circle. But again, the reality of ministry, especially in prison, is again to know that we're there not because of who we know, but because of our fitness and, of course, competency, then is the right method for that strategy. And so I want to focus now on the actual training module. This is training module number 6 in the training package. And this is for ages 16 to 24. You know, looking at various programs and strategies, I've only selected three. Of course, dealing with incarceration, dealing with the parents, as well as the youth of incarcerated parents. And we're also dealing with vulnerable youth today in terms of those who are out of school. And so when you look at the purpose of a Ready for Life training and mentoring project for out-of-school youth, the intent is to help program youth facing tough odds stay on track and reach their potential by seeking remedies through networks of local faith-based, community-based, and government agencies to help make their outcomes more positive and productive. Now, I have some goals that will follow and some objectives here that have been identified for the creation of your Ready for Life training and mentoring project if you choose to engage in this particular ministry. The goals, number one, is to improve youth's educational skills that lead to a credential in order to acquire the necessary skills to function in society. And again, let me say, as I share these excerpts from this training module, the entire project presentation is in the actual package, the presentation of the 200 color page PowerPoint that we have. And so I'm giving you some specific excerpts that are significant in at least beginning to understand the approach to ministering to youth who are out of school. This, again, is ages 16 to 24. The second goal is to prepare skilled, trained, workforce-eligible youth to meet the needs of local employers. And by entering the workforce, by getting a job, they stay on track and, of course, reach their full potential. The third goal is to increase the number of adult mentors to be matched with program youth who are out of school and unemployed. The fourth goal is to increase mentoring services to out-of-school youth who either live in neighborhoods with high crimes or high rates of crime, I should say, and poverty, and who have one or more parents in prison or who are in foster care. And the fifth goal is to meet the target area's anticipated need for adult mentors for program youth who are in at-risk situations. Well, then we break down some objectives for this particular project. The first objective, of course, is to provide, and you can choose what number works for you, but just ideally, to provide 50 unduplicated program youth who reside in your community or your target area. And you want to provide them with the educational services and instruction through your Ready for Life training project. And of course, when you think about 50 unduplicated youth, we're anticipating this will be a two-year program, which means you would serve 25 in each year of the two-year program. Or if it's a three-year program, of course, it would be 75, or however, again, your resources and your volunteers and your mentors and staff will determine just what your numbers are for your target ministry. The second objective is to provide program youth with literacy and numeracy gains through adult basic education instruction that lead to a high school equivalency test development. We used to call it GED, but now, of course, it's the HISET, the High School Equivalency Test, the HISET test, or that credential. The third objective is to provide tutoring and study skills training, which is very important in their overall development. And another objective would be to provide comprehensive guidance. And for you'll find a number of them also would need substance abuse counseling. The fifth objective would be to provide leadership, development, and service learning opportunities. The sixth objective would be to provide individual, one-on-one, and monthly group mentoring life skills training. And included in that, you ought to have a component that deals with financial literacy and entrepreneurial training for those who seek to engage even further in the workforce, in workforce development. The seventh objective would be to provide paid and unpaid work experience, which may include summer employment, pre-apprenticeship, and apprenticeship programs, on-the-job training, exposure to various aspects of an industry, or internships and job shadowing. That's a key component, an objective for this type of program for out-of-school youth. And the eighth objective would be that program staff will be hired and all staff will attend mentor training. Again, all staff will be a part of the mentor training. I have a few more objectives here, three more. The ninth would be, again, that those 50 unduplicated adult mentors will be recruited and will receive 4 hours of Ready for Life training prior to undertaking mentoring responsibilities. And to get more detail in terms of the mentoring responsibilities and training, you can refer to the other modules that I have, especially the fifth module that really lays out the mentoring training strategy. And the 10th objective would be that 50 unduplicated program youth will receive mentoring through the Ready for Life program over a 2-year, or again, based upon your needs, the 2-year period. 25 recommended for each of the program years. And finally, 50 unduplicated program youth who reside in your target area will receive mentoring and other support services over your 2-year or program period. There are some outcomes that you want to look for in this ministry that are very significant to determine whether your project is not only significant, but if it's successful. The outcomes that you want to see. The first would be there must be some high quality career services, education, training, and support services that program youth need to become gainfully employed. We want to make sure that they get all of the training and services and the support services so that they can be gainfully employ those who are moving in that track in terms of the workforce development. Some others may be on the track for higher education or college and so forth. Another outcome is that program youth that you call mentees will develop an increased sense of personal worth through improved literacy and numeracy gains and mentoring. A sense of personal worth, to feel better, to feel good about who they are because of your training experiences. Third outcome would be to help employers find skilled workers and access other supports, including education for their current workforce. Again, working with employers for that particular outcome. The fourth outcome will be to expose program staff and 50 adult mentors to successfully complete the Ready for Life mentor training that is culturally compatible and culturally sensitive in terms of addressing the youth in your program. The fifth outcome would be that staff and 50 adult mentors will be recruited and equipped. I said equipped to provide mentoring services to program youth. Sixth outcome would be that program youth will receive one-on-one and group mentoring services supplemented by age-appropriate and culturally compatible skills building and job training. Also, service learning opportunities must be a part of that experience in which mentor and mentee can participate in that experience with other pairs. My Lord, what an extraordinary experience working together in the community. And another outcome, the seventh outcome, would be that program youth will be matched, successfully matched. All of them will not be successful matches, but will be successfully matched with adult mentors who will provide that one-on-one mentoring activity. Now, of course, when you're developing your Ready for Life mentoring project for out-of-school youth, you will have a target population, and you need to know and research the number of eligible youth or program youth in your area. Of course, you will determine the number of program youth that will be served, and you will, of course, research the accessibility of services and placement opportunities in employment. That's a part of your research in developing your program. Well, there's the program design. After we do those three things in terms of developing the project, looking at your goals, objectives, and outcomes, you got to look at your program design. And in your program design, we've mentioned them, but they are specific elements, program elements. In fact, there are seven program elements that should be a part of your program design. And I do want to just go over that, a few of those briefly with you. The first one, and of course, everything that's a part of this program design deals with your partnership collaboration. You got other organizations and service providers that are part of your network that are providing these particular services. If your organization or ministry or church cannot provide them all, the first program element is, again, the literacy and numeracy gains and basic education instruction. That's to help those out-of-school youth who need it. All of them may not need it, who need the high set, or as we used to call it, the GED, the basic education instruction. And that's the first program element. The second program element would be your tutoring and study skills training. And that will come through your monthly group mentoring structure. That is, once a month, you bring all of your mentors and all of your mentees and program staff together in terms of a structured training experience. And again, that could be your 2 hours or 4 hours in that particular time frame. Most often we would do it on a Saturday or another time that would work for your program, in which you can bring these principles together. And in the tutoring and study skills training, they will be focusing on developing social and advocacy skills, analytical skills. They will learn that individual rights exceed Miranda rights. They will work cooperatively with other and how to work cooperatively with others, regardless of race, age, gender, or other divides. They would look at developing crucial partnerships and how to recruit mentors. Just a number of things that will be very beneficial for the mentors, mentees, and of course, the program staff. That's your second program element. Your third program element is the assessment, comprehensive guidance, and substance abuse counseling. And of course, this will be provided, your service provider will provide assessment and outpatient substance abuse services to include initial assessment, comprehensive guidance, and intensive group substance abuse counseling. That can be provided by one of your organizational partners. In-kind screening services is also a part of that assessment. And of course, the time frame for this program element could be for a number of training experiences. Could be 1 hour per week for a particular time frame. Again, based upon your resources and your program design. I know I'm moving through these quickly, but I'm just giving you some excerpts. All of this is in the PowerPoint presentation. The fourth program element is paid and unpaid work experience. The service provider, and this can be again with hospitals or construction companies or just a number of work experience opportunities. But whoever that service provider, they will provide that work experience opportunity for those youth who are interested in careers in, for example, the healthcare industry. You can be working with a hospital, as we did here in Baton Rouge, or you can work, again, with the construction industry. These opportunities will include unpaid work experience manifested in informational training, internships, and job shadowing for your youth. They can tour the facilities, for example, of that employment opportunity experience. Conduct monthly training informational workshops, so on and so forth. The fifth program, let me say there's more involved in that fourth one. Now, that's a very key one. Let me just say a few more there. Program work experience, advocate staff persons who will oversee this program component. You know, there will be a special staff person who would oversee just that paid and work, unpaid work experience to coordinate and ensure that all of the strategies are worked out. And so they will be there also as a part of that program design. The fifth program element, and this especially for our Christian community, where, of course, depending on what kind of support you have, you would not so much emphasize this in a spiritual biblical presentation, because it may be a nonprofit corporation and you can't mix religion with your programming, but you can deal with moral and ethical leadership development. You can deal with service learning opportunities as a part of your program element. It will focus on topics to include conflict resolution and management, moral and ethical development, and community service. And this would help when you have what I call ritual elders who serve as mentors and help these young people to rediscover the ritual of work and the meaning of work and how it is so important, especially to ex-prisoners or returning citizens or men in particular, women in particular, but men particularly who have been incarcerated, to really find their place again as leaders of their families. And work is important. And so you may have some young people who have been a part of the correction system in residential homes. They're out of school youth. That's another category of young people that you also can be serving. So you'll be dealing with that ritual of work. Also in that particular program design, the transitional or life skills. job getting and job keeping objectives, again, that are very important in that program element of your program design. And the sixth program element out of the seven is the one-on-one and group mentoring life skills training. This focuses particularly on life skills. And your mentors, of course, will be successfully matched, and they will be leading the discussions and advising and sharing in those monthly mentoring or group mentoring sessions. That's the sixth program element, one-on-one and group mentoring life skills training. The seventh and final program design, or rather program element of your program design, would be the financial literacy and entrepreneurial training. There will be some young people who will be interested in business beyond just getting a job, but how they themselves might become entrepreneurs and engage in financial support and, of course, financial development. And so you'll partner with the financial institution, a bank or whatever that financial institution that's available in your area. And those financial experts will deliver evidence-based financial education training to include Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation Money Smart training modules. And that module includes such things as career and job opportunities, introduction to taxes, financial goals, smart shopping, cash flow and budgeting, the importance of saving options, investing options, credit and debt, financial risk, so on and so on and so on. And of course, giving them exposure to entrepreneurial opportunities. In fact, that bank could provide part of those other elements in terms of work experience. And that part is very significant, especially for our 18 to 24 year olds. And then finally, as a part of your program design, you will indeed have support services. And your city or county or parish youth services, business and career centers are very key in terms of referring eligible youth or out-of-school youth between the ages of 16 to 24 who are under their supervision. And those who reside in your program target area, they can refer young people to your mentoring project. So you need to really work with your career centers, your business and career centers in your community, again, through your city or county or parish youth services, career centers. And those referrals will be based upon a formal and or informal assessment utilizing your own Ready for Life referral forms by those local workforce investment areas personnel. And that's what that partnership is called, your local workforce investment area, your WIAs, if you will. And they will determine program participants' needs that are consistent and compatible with the policies and procedures, goals, and objectives of your Ready for Life training and mentoring project. As I was saying, brothers and sisters, in the next episode, we will be sharing with you more strategies in terms of developing your specific program. And so, one thing is clear, and that is you are cordially invited to join us in this movement toward relevant and redirected ministry to regenerate, reclaim, and restore returning citizens, to strengthen families, and create safer communities. These are noble goals as a part of our holistic approach to prison ministry. And so we must engage in proactive advocacy and reactive strategies to prevent crime and reduce violence. As faithful members in the dignity, as faithful believers in the dignity and worth of every human person, after you have completed the training through my Anthony Kelly Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Training Workshop, you will be able to move from right belief, which is orthodoxy, to right action, which is orthopraxis. And you'll be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ that brings spiritual health and wholeness to those who will hear his voice. Otherwise, the beat goes on. Please share with your networks. And I do want you to know that our podcast is now streaming on all platforms, wherever podcasts are heard. These include Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, and just a number of various platforms. And we know that you will be blessed by these episodic experiences of this prison ministry and training program. In fact, ultimately, you may purchase your 200 plus color page training workshop package for your personal use and training or for your ministry or organization. And you can do that by accessing the store tab on my web page, which is www.rrministriesinc.org. Again, that's RR Ministries. Make sure you put incorporated, INC.org, and you'll be able to access and to actually see how you might acquire this very special training program for your church and ministry. It will also show you the recommended tech books, the textbooks that I've written, What the Spirit is Saying to the Church, published by Christian Faith Publishing. As I indicated, Shadows is also a part of that presentation. And we'll definitely have How Shall They Hear? Effective Preaching to Prisoners, published by the Sunday School Publishing Board, Townsend Press in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's available on their website at www.sspbnbc.com. Again, that's www.sspbnbc.com. Again, I thank you for this opportunity to share with you this extraordinary passion and this most necessary a ministry that we must engage ourselves in. God bless you and may he keep you until we are able to share with you once again. Remember to keep on praying, keep on planning to be safe, and of course, keep on persevering. God bless you.